Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Alright, we have a lot of stuff to get into this week. Let's just hop right into it. Right at the start, though, I do have to make sure to say that if you're a fan of the show, if you have fun listening to it, and you want to think to yourself, huh, what's an easy, free way that I could support this show? Well, I'm so glad you asked, dear listener. The best way to support this show, especially for free, is to just go wherever you are listening to this show, if it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, and to just leave a review or a rating or a comment. Anything like that really, really, really helps the algorithm boost this show to new listeners. So there's no better time than the present to do exactly that. And if you would like to support the show financially, well, I've got good news for you. You can go to the show notes for basically any of our lovely episodes here. In particular, this very one you're listening to right now. And you can buy my hot sauce. How about that, huh? That sounds kind of cool, don't you think? I have my very own Ausfahrt zu Hell hot sauce that I am very proud of. Took a long time to make. Tastes really damn good. If you're like an actual hot sauce person, you like good flavor with a good kick, you're gonna love it. And I sell them through Heat Supply, which is Europe's largest hot sauce maker and distributor. I'm very proud of them. I enjoy working with them. They ship internationally. Can make a great gift if you are a fan of what I do and you like my videos or you like the podcast generally. Buying the hot sauce is a great way to support the show. And there's other links here as well. You can watch my stand-up comedy special that came out late last year, just a few months ago. And the show notes have a lot of great links you should check out, because especially as the longtime like Artsy Fartsy listeners know, that I tend to share like upcoming event information and cool merch drops here first on the podcast before posting about them online. Like, for example, here's a little gift for you. In July, I will be performing at Lollapalooza in Berlin. Now, I can't post about that yet, and I probably shouldn't be saying anything about it right now because the lineup hasn't officially dropped and it won't until next week sometime. But that's the kind of special little information that you will be getting if you listen to this podcast. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, we can hope to get a little trade back and forth on. I give you up, you know, quick information, try to give you about an hour's worth of entertainment each week. And nothing better than just, you know, reviewing, rating the show, or buying a hot sauce. Or, you know, when we get some new merch out as well, this will be the first place I promote it before posting. So that's it. That's out of the way. And let's get into the show. So there are some really... I really wanted to start off with something funny this week. For those who have listened for a long time, you'll most likely remember that... Let me see how many weeks ago this was. Okay, so this was last month. I was talking about, this episode. I was talking about the Oscar nominations for the 2025 Oscars. You know, I don't have to go into it too deep because I've talked about it plenty of times by now on this show. But, of course, our dear friend and longtime listener slash previous guest on the show, Moritz Bender, he was on the show. It was a double show with an interview with him and Peter Sarsgaard, one of my favorite actors. Back, I did that episode in November, end of November last year. I did this Oscar nominations episode. I talked about it a lot because, one, a lot of the films that are nominated for different Oscars were movies I liked a lot. But, of course, most importantly, I'm very invested this year because, like I said, our friend Moritz is Oscar nominated now, and he was Golden Globe nominated and Critics' Choice nominated. So it's a huge, huge honor and crazy to hear the stories that come from this guy. But on that Oscars episode, I talked about The Substance. And I'm not going to spend a whole episode talking about that again. If you want to hear my full opinion, you can go to the episode Variety's Oscar nominations from January 23rd. But I went into, I went into a bit of a rant, one might say, about The Substance. And I recently updated my Letterboxd. So for the film nerds out there who are into Letterboxd, I finally updated my page to a certain extent. I haven't put like every movie I've ever seen on there, but I put all my recent watches on there. It's like 11 or 12 movies, and I gave them reviews, and I gave them like a critique, you know, like a little, I wrote a little something, something down. So if you want to follow me on Letterboxd, it's Jordan Prince of Germany. Should be able to find it on Prince of Germany. So anyway, I had watched The Substance, and of course I didn't like it. And I feel like The Substance has become one of those movies that you're kind of in danger of being in trouble with the general public if you say you don't like it. But for me, that's ridiculous because it's just movies. Some, you know, like for example, there's people like today that like right now will say that Drake won the rap beef between him and Kendrick, and they think Kendrick's overrated. Like, it's just, that's totally fine. That's just people's opinions. Like, that's what art is. It's just subjective. Like, I'm, you know, that's what the whole point of like experiencing anything creative is. Either you hear a song and you go, that's a cool song, and then you add it to a playlist and you listen to that song, and maybe you even listen to the whole album and you go, I like this band, and maybe you go see that band live, or you hear a song and you go, that's not really for me, I don't think I like, you know, heavy metal, or like, oh, I'm not sure if this song is, you know, it's not clicking for me, and you move on, you know? That's just how anything works. Oh, you go through a museum. This painting, wow, oh my goodness, that's so captivating. Wow, Hieronymus Bosch, that's unbelievable. This so, and then you see something like an oil painting of a king, and maybe that's not as interesting. Doesn't mean there's less talent involved. That's also important to say as well. Like, every piece of artistic expression takes like a good, hard, long amount of work to make. And I'm not criticizing that. I'm someone who has made music and had their music criticized. I'm someone who makes comedy and you know, consistently has their comedy criticized, who lives by the numbers of people's interests and with crap with like, you know, social media online and all that stuff. So it's no shame on the people creating the output. It's just once that piece of art is finished and it is now in like the public eye, it is now going to, as it should, be subjected to people's opinions. It's just how do they feel about it. So with that being said, The Substance was a movie that I just didn't like. But to reiterate the beginning point of that, I do feel that it's one of those movies similar to, and I know it's different, I haven't seen Emilia Perez, but it feels like similar to Emilia Perez, where you're not really allowed to say you don't like it, which I think that's dangerous. Like, it's dangerous to be like afraid to say you do or don't like some, like a movie. I mean, what? I'm saying all of this because I criticized The Substance on my own podcast very thoroughly, because I found it funny, because I don't think that the movie was made very well. Great actresses, you know, an important subject and like an important message about how women's bodies are, you know, subjected to such horrible scrutiny in the entertainment industry. And generally, women are viewed as just so useless once they're past the age of fertility. And it's a horrible systemic problem that has, you know, unfortunately just continued on even into our more modern era. So it's not as if I even think that the message is bad. I understand what they're trying to say. So I had this big rant, which I thought was just funny. I enjoyed talking about it. I love movies. But since I re-upped my Letterboxd, this is all just to get back to Letterboxd, I set up this new account, and then I did a review of The Substance. And I'll read it for you here. Now, it's my opinion on my Letterboxd, and, you know, I'm honest. Why not? I didn't like a movie. Here's why I didn't like it. Who cares? Move on. So, and then I can give you an example of something that was really positive. The Substance. You can rate it like from as low as a half star to a full 5 stars. They give you this option. So you could say like, you know, 3.5 or 4.5 stars. I rated it a half star because I didn't want to give it nothing. I mean, it wasn't like I didn't finish the movie, and it wasn't as if there weren't little moments or little, like, there's some little things, like the practical effects are very cool. They're very realistic and gory looking. It's very gross, like body, guts, blood stuff. And I'm not really into that too much. I understand that that's the point of the story. So they needed to do it it's not as if you can really tell the story without it. I wouldn't want to see a movie about The Substance without that stuff, because it wouldn't make any sense. So I thought the practical effects were cool, and these two actresses are great. Hey, Demi Moore, legendary icon actress. Glad to see her back in the limelight. You know, it's a lot of like comeback. It's been a great couple of years for comebacks. You know, like we saw Josh Hartnett come back. We saw, you know, Demi Moore. That's great. Hugh Grant also had like some really cool comeback movies. Like, I want to see Heretic, but anyway, I gave it just a half star because it wasn't like I could give it nothing. That wouldn't be honest. But I also didn't want to give it like more because I very much did not enjoy watching it for much at all. But here's what I said. This is word for word, and I'm getting you to the to the funny part here. So give me a second. I wrote, let's separate the parentheses completely reasonable and certainly important parentheses message and metaphor. So right off the bat, I'm saying let's separate like this message that the movie is based around about women's bodies and stuff. Like that is something that is an important message. That is an important, like, you know, reflection of our current culture, and it should be put in cinema. So I said, let's separate that message and metaphor, which are forced upon us with the subtlety of a train wreck for a second. Because it is. It's the metaphor and the message of this. It's forced upon us with the subtlety of a train wreck, you know. And I said, let's just think about the fact that the point they're trying to get across to the audience could have been told with much more artistic depth. She's a woman that her industry views as too old. A sad story, certainly. She finds a miracle drug that makes her hot and young, but the hot and young version doesn't like going back to the old and ugly version, you know, quote unquote, because of the attention that they get. It's a tale as old as time. It's the every single folk tale story of like the witch who sees the beautiful young version of herself in the mirror, or the person who can turn back time and, you know, relive his teen years. These are exactly this message of like, I'll continue. So, that's the point, right? That she's viewed that way. And when she gets this like magical cure to make her young and hot, the young and hot version of her doesn't like going back to the old and ugly version because she's not viewed as beautiful. She doesn't have as much attention in the older body. The older body gets depressed when she's awake because she's not the young and hot one. She gets mad that the young and hot one keeps taking, you know, the reason that they become so deformed and gross, or that Demi Moore's character does, is because the more that the young and hot one extends her time as being young and hot, the longer and longer she extends that time, she has to like inject more of the substance into Demi, and it's obviously this mystical, you know, voice on the phone that they talk to that like guides them through this process. You know, this black market drug dealer says like, you shouldn't do that. But guess what? She does it. And so that's the thing. And this whole plot of like the older lady being magically young and hot and then not wanting to be old again, like, I understand that this is a reflection of American culture, general culture. Like, this is why people have for many, many years, you know, like if we're looking at this through the like the lens of reality, this is why people get plastic surgery. This is why they get hair transplants. This is why they take diet medications. It is a system in place, like, and you know, enforced upon us as general consumers of entertainment. And it's something we're all very aware of. So I get the message. It could not be clearer, like, you know, clear as day. That's the point, right? This reflection of American culture, or I would say American culture, but of course it's pretty much everywhere in like a Western society. Okay, so I said, why, if that's the case, if that's the angle they're approaching this, these stories, why tell it so bluntly? Just why tell it so bluntly? Because it's not like, it's not anything, like I immediately, like from the inciting incident, okay, oh, Demi Moore is, again, like she goes to work, she's, you know, they're saying, like literally, like I think Dennis Quaid's character just goes up to her and says like, you're old and ugly. No, she overhears him in the bathroom. She goes to the men's bathroom for whatever reason, I forgot why. And he goes in to pee and he's on the phone and it's like a damn Warner Brothers Looney Tunes cartoon. He's in there peeing and he's like, yeah, you know, it's crazy, that old hag. She's those loose tits. She's sagging around and she's so ugly and old. And I mean, sure, do men talk just horribly about women? Have I heard that with my own ears? Versions of that? Of course, it's not like that doesn't happen, but it doesn't happen like that. And it's like she's in the bathroom. She's not. And by the way, she's not in the women's restroom. And he just bursts in and says, "I don't care." She's in the men's restroom, and she like hears him coming in, and she like hides in the stall and overhears his private conversation where he's being such a dick. You know, it's like he's a monster, but it's so cartoonish. It's just so cartoonish. And it's given to you on a silver platter. She feels old and ugly. The bad guy, the bad, you know, straight, white, powerful man, which again, very, very honest reflection of real life, sadly. And he's there like, she is old and saggy and ugly. And then she hears it. She's like, oh, I am old and ugly and saggy. And then she like sees some ad for like, you know, some black market goop. And she's like, I'm going to try this. And, you know, it's just so blunt. The message is so blunt. Anyway, I'm getting off topic here. And then, so I continue. Also, this is just a personal gripe, but if Demi's, this dude, okay, I went off on this in that other podcast, but if Demi's character, the way she's portrayed is that she is a very successful and famous like television host. I mean, on the scale of like Oprah, you know, super famous. If Demi's character is successful and famous enough to have this huge, luxurious, high floor suite in a major metropolis like New York City, how does not a single person check on her the entire movie? She is just in her apartment. She's just not, no one, like, there's no, she's a successful, famous person in an enormous, like, enormous high-rise suite. And there's not, like, a fucking mailman who knocks on her door. There's not a, she doesn't, like, does she go and get food? Does she, when she's in her skin, like, does, I mean, how does this woman not have like a personal assistant? Like, that just, that, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to make something science fiction, you have to have some things in place that, like, you know, they, what do you call it? Like, suspending the disbelief, right? Like, I need to believe in her world. Her world can be crazy. There can be drugs where, like, a hot, naked Margaret Qualley, like, crawls out of Demi Moore's butt. Like, I can believe that if the world around it is grounded. Like, otherwise, if you have Dennis Quaid dressing like the Joker and, like, the building they work at, like, I understand it's artistic choice. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not naive enough to be like, that should look like a real office building. I can understand artistic choice. Like, it doesn't have to look like real, but the reason why movies like, I don't know, I mean, this is such a bad comparison, but like, I don't know, but oh, let's look at like a David Cronenberg movie, right? Like, this is very, 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 very David Cronenberg. The reason why something like The Fly works, or like Videodrome works, or even movies like Saw, like the reason these like gore, or Terrifier, for God's sakes, even movies like Terrifier or Saw, these gory, bloody, like weird movies, like Terrifier is like this magic demon guy. He can't die. Like all that stuff. I can buy it. I can buy that he can have his head cut off and like grow it out of this woman's uterus. Yes, that is something that actually happens. I can buy all of that because all of the world around the Terrifier is super grounded. And when they incorporate this paranormal thing, this magic thing, I'm invested and I can believe it. I can believe it because the things around it are grounded and straight. You have to have some walls. But The Substance to me feels like the most disgusting children's cartoon because like everything is over amplified to the point where I can't take the message seriously. So I just like, if she's this rich, famous person, how come she's not like turning, like she should be on phone calls, like turning people away. She should be on phone calls, like turning down, like telling her assistant she's fired. Don't come in anymore. She should have a family member maybe that like is visiting the city and she promised to tour her around, but she doesn't answer the door. Someone who's like adding pressure to the fact, like someone who's like getting police involved and adding pressure to the fact that like it's adding to this time, like time is running out. People are coming eventually now at the end of the movie. Everything's gone wrong. Demi Moore's character is this like blubber butt, like weird fanged monster goopy thing. And like the police are at the door with her worried sister and the hot version of her is out somewhere in the city and she has to race back to try and stop them. That would be so exciting. The tension would be amazing. And you would still have this message of like, be happy with the body that God gave you. There's no magic cure for insecurity. You know, don't care as much about, try to not care about what people think. Be happy with yourself. Love yourself. You could still have these messages, but have a better structured movie. It's just very poorly structured. And so that was my big argument. There's no personal assistant, no sister or cousin. There's no bestie from school. I don't buy that. The practical effects are very cool. And these are two. This is what I'm saying in the very last sentence of the Letterboxd review. The practical effects are very cool. And these are two amazing actresses. But the story and the story alone just felt straight up a waste of the time and the talent available. So now with all of that said, I randomly, and I put this review up yesterday. I just cruised through my, recently watched movies and just put them here. And, some girl named Maggie commented within like less than 12 hours of having this review up. And she said, "Oh shoot, you don't get it!" Exclamation point. She goes, "Womp womp." Womp womp. Like, "Oh shoot, you just don't get it." Well, womp womp. Heart emoji. "This film was not made for you at all, and your opinion doesn't really matter." Well, Sorry to burst your bubble, Maggie, but your opinion doesn't matter either. Like, does she think that I'm like a film critic for the New York Times or something? Like, of course it doesn't matter. This is on my Letterboxd. I didn't post this to like the main substance page. I didn't put this up like on a display and say like on Twitter, this is the definitive review. Like, of course, are you out of your mind? Of course not. Of course not. I love the womp womp. Oh shoot, you don't get it. Well, womp womp, heart emoji. This film is not made for you at all, in your opinion. It doesn't really matter. Thank you, Maggie. That's so funny. I responded and said, yes, my opinion very much does not matter, exclamation point. Neither does yours. And I said, but glad you liked the movie. Not everyone likes the same things. Let's go to Maggie's profile and see what she has been watching. Okay. So she gave The Substance 5 stars. 5 stars. And her only comment under it was, there is no going back. Yeah, that's the tagline. Because you take a drug where you poop out this other lady, and then the other lady like injects you too long, and then you turn into a human poop monster. Like, you can't go back because you're poop. You're a poop person now. And she dies. So, spoiler. So that's her. Okay, let's see what else Maggie watched here. Oh my God, she's using TikTok trends in her reviews. For example, she like on TikTok, there is a joke that's quoted from the show Broad City, and it's like, in the club, we all fam. I'm not going to go into why that's funny, but she watched Blue Valentine. And her review for Blue Valentine, which is one of the saddest movies ever made, she goes, in the club, we all cry. Amazing. I have to look at a couple more. Let me see. The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, she said, four stars, less stars than The Substance, by the way. She gave The Lord of the Rings less stars than The Substance, but okay. She goes, The Lord of the Rings, that weird-ass dream you dream, but your alarm never goes off, so it goes on and on and on. Still four. By the way, that's not a really positive review. 4 stars. The Substance, 5 stars. She needs to get her priorities straight. At least she's not a complete idiot. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, she gave 5 stars. Absolutely. I agree with her on Emily the Criminal, 3.5 stars. I have not seen A Complete Unknown. Little Women, 5 stars. Agree. Trust me, I'm not going to go through her whole thing here. You guys can't even look at this. Okay, let me see what she said for Emilia Perez, and then we'll move on. She said 2.5 stars. Honestly, that surprises me. A 5-star Substance viewer strikes me as a 5-star Emilia Perez viewer. But it's good to know she has some diversity there. She said, in another universe, this film was made well and thoughtfully and is much better deserving of the 13 Oscar nominations it has in this universe. So, in another universe, this movie was actually made well and thoughtfully and is much more deserving of the 13 Oscar nominations that it has in this universe. Okay, so it's a negative review. Still gave it 2.5 stars. That's over half of the stars that she gave to The Fellowship of the Ring. Let's see what's on her watch list. The thing is, I gotta say, I don't hate her watch list. It's not as if she just watches boring movies. Emilia Perez, Eternal Sunshine, Emily the Criminal, Good Will Hunting, 5 stars. Same as The Substance. Twilight, 5 stars. Donnie Darko, 5 stars. The same as The Substance and Twilight. My girl, Maggie. Generally, looking at your list, most of this is stuff that I either have watched and enjoyed or also very much want to watch. So I am... I just followed her. I just followed her. This is the absolute best way I think you can get, like, not get back, because I'm not, like, mad at her or something, but, like, this is the best way to sort of, like, you know, nudge someone who tries to be bitter or sour on the internet, is to just follow them. Just follow them. Because what are they going to do? Say, you can't, like, don't do that? You know what I mean? I love this. I love this. I'm getting into Letterboxd now. I know I'm very late. I'm very, very, very late for this. But there's a few movies I really want to see. I mean, I still have not seen The Brutalist, sadly. I just watched Nosferatu. I was a little disappointed with it. It's one of the most... Okay, you know what? We're going to do it. I'm sorry, guys, but we are going to do it. We're going to look at popular films on Letterboxd real quick, and I'm going to give a quick review. Sorry, it's my show. Deal with it! Companion, have not seen it, want to. Conclave, that's from the German director, Edward Berger, and I do want to see it, but when I see a pope, when I see Catholics, Catholic priests, I got to say, it really turns me off, but I'll give it a shot. Nosferatu, like I said, one of the most beautiful looking movies I've ever seen in my life. I would love for this to win the best cinematography. Just mind-blowing cinematography. But I was pretty bummed about the ending. I won't spoil that, but it did not end how I hoped or thought it might or should. Anora, great. I love Anora. Mikey Madison's one of the most exciting actresses working. I agree with what Peter Sarsgaard said about sex in film. He said he has no problem with it if it adds substance to the story. If it's important to the story, and it does very much in Anora. So, yes, for those who might not enjoy seeing a lot of nudity or sex portrayed on screen, maybe that's not for you, but I will say it's very much worth trying, because the story and the characters are just rich and great. And the more and more I think about it, the more I like it even more. I think I've mentioned this before, there's a bit of a sharp tonal shift in the middle of the movie that I still don't love that. That's why that's kind of the only reason I didn't give it more stars. Was like, literally, it's a great movie and I really enjoyed it a lot. But in the very middle, it kind of shifts to, I mean, borderline slapstick comedy from being kind of more serious. And that shocked me, but it works. It's a really interesting, good movie. The Substance, we all know how I feel about that. Baby Girl, Nicole Kidman, Harris Dickinson, great actors. I have not seen it, so I can't give a review. A Real Pain. Man, I'm not going to do it, but you better believe I could go on and on and on and on. I took like a little poster from the cinema to put here in the studio, because A Real Pain got me in the gut. That is one of the best movies I have seen in decades. Go see it. A Real Pain. It's amazing. I'm Still Here. Haven't seen it. A Complete Unknown. I'm dying to see it, but I still haven't, sadly. Emilia Perez. Have not seen it. And I got to be honest with you guys. I know this is very uncouth of me. Very uncool and uncouth for a film nerd who tries to have a relatively open mind for everything, but I'm also not going to watch Emilia Perez. It's nothing, it's just, it doesn't appeal to me. And don't hate. Don't you be hating. It just doesn't interest me. Heart Eyes, I don't know what that is. We Live in Time, not gonna watch it. We Live in Time looks like just a, it's made to make you cry. I don't like movies where I can tell from the trailer and even from the poster that this is made to make you cry. Like I that turns me off so much. Like, for example, in a real pain, I sobbed. There's a moment where I saw, and I'm not even like being dramatic. Like I sobbed, and it really hit me like in the full force of my stomach. I cried. Like, that movie is just so great. But it's not a movie that's like from the poster meant to make you, like, you're going to go in like, here comes the tearjerker. Like, no. It's a movie with a lot of nuance. It has a lot of different feelings. I'm getting distracted just looking at these posters, but, yeah, We Live in Time. I can tell from the trailer. It's like, oh, well, you're going to need some tissues. Well, go get out of here. Go away. New Amy Schumer comedy, Kind of Pregnant. I'll probably watch that. I don't love Amy Schumer's stand-up, but there's a couple of movies from her that I have to admit are very funny. What's the one where she's dating Bill Hader? Let me see. Hold on. Amy Schumer, Bill Hader movie. That is Trainwreck. Oh, man. Trainwreck is so funny. If you guys have never seen that movie, Bill Hader is so great. I can't believe that was 10 years ago. Wow. Bill Hader really aged a lot in 10 years. Holy shit. He looks like a kid in this. And now you see him after Barry and it's like, man, he's got like a fully gray beard and his hair's pushed back so much. But, you know, he still looks good. He's with Amy Wong now. Good for him. Huh? But good for her, too. Both winners. That's great. Amy Wong? Yeah. But yeah, Trainwreck is very funny. Very, very, very funny. Ali Wong. Sorry, is it Ali Wong? Oh, I'm sorry. Amy Wong was a character she played. Ali Wong is the comedian and the actress from Beef, if you guys haven't seen Beef. Amazing show. I mean, she does a lot of stuff. But Ali Wong, unbelievably talented. And now she's with Bill Hader. So that's cool. I'm getting off topic. Anyway, I'll probably watch this Amy Schumer movie just because her movies tend to be better than her stand-up. I really don't like her stand-up. Let me see what the other one was that I also liked. Oh, I Feel Pretty. Yes, judge me all you want, but she has a lot of movies on here, it looks like, but I've, from all of her, like, movies that she stars in, Trainwreck is the best. Trainwreck is very funny, but I have to also admit I would be lying if I didn't really think that 2018's I Feel Pretty, I'd be lying if I didn't think that that's actually really funny. I think I Feel Pretty is very funny. And I haven't seen, what is this, The Humans? What is that? Look at this cast. Am I a psychological drama film and she's in there with Richard Jenkins? Anyway, that's not for right now. Wicked, I'm probably not going to watch it. I might, when it comes to streaming, we'll see. I'm not going to go to the cinema. It doesn't interest me. No shame on it. These are some talented gals and it's a very famous musical. Amazing. Go have fun. I don't think that's really for me. I saw Blink twice, the Zoe Kravitz directorial debut with Channing Tatum. Pile of trash. Hated it. It's so stupid. No one made a smart decision the entire movie. Challengers, great. I can't believe it got snubbed at the Oscars this year. Challengers was awesome. Luca Guadagnino, one of my favorite directors, he just dropped this new movie, Queer, which I'm also going to watch, but I have not seen it yet. Oh, look at that. September 5. Oh, let's do this. Oh, okay. Let me see how much time we have left here. Oh, boy. Okay. We've still got some time here. So I am going to go through some September 5 reviews here on Letterboxd. So, September 5, 2024, directed by Tim Fehlbaum. During the 1972 Munich Olympics, an American sports broadcasting crew finds itself thrust into covering the hostage crisis involving Israeli athletes. I rated it 5 stars. Let's see what some of the reviews are. Let's see here. Let's see. Someone named Zoe says, 3.5 stars. Interesting. Propulsively paced, exceptionally edited, and well acted across the board. John Magaro, MVP, per usual. But the frustratingly apolitical script lacks crucial context and the film's questionable timing. It's not questionable timing. It's just when it has to come out. Like, there's just a schedule for these sorts of things. Anna, the 4.5. The ethical questions throughout the movie are just heart-stopping. I think it was really impressive to view such a horrific historical event and do it justice through the lens of news reporters. Yeah. Oh, look, this guy, Jordan Prince, said, one of my best friends is the now Oscar-nominated, Critics' Choice nominated, and Golden Globe-nominated screenwriter of this movie, so I might be a little biased here. I also act in it as a background extra and worked heavily with the cast off-camera, assisting them in working with so much dialogue, which takes place in other locations. I'm listed as the off-speaker in the credits. Check it out. But yeah, I'm also in the movie a good bit, and when I say it was the thrill of a lifetime to meet and work alongside Peter MFing Sarsgaard, no one can take that away from me. I love my friend Moritz, I love these memories, and I love this movie. I'm so glad it got made. Go see it, dummy. The story's incredible. Yep, that does seem like a pretty biased opinion to me. Let me check out what we got here. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. September 5 turns out to be an interesting movie that explores the moralities of news broadcasts. What can we show and not? It depicts an important part of our history and one of the arguably defining moments of news history. Oh, someone said, if you watched the movie Saturday Night and thought, I wish there was less comedy and more terrorism, then this is the movie for you. Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, I'm not surprised at all that there are a few comments here, which I won't read. You can read them for yourselves if you have Letterboxd. But I am not surprised that there are some comments about, the timing, with everything with Israel and Palestine and Gaza and everything. Of course, that's an unfortunate sort of clash of... It was just a really unfortunate thing that the current reality gets blended into this film's release date, because it's not as if, like, there's a lot they can do about that when a production company has a schedule of releases and they have to sort of market things so that they can have their flow and put their money into things as they come along. You know, this, like, these things are scheduled like 3-4 years in advance. Just, you know, like, I think Moritz wrote this, started writing on this movie like 4 years ago, and then it was shot over 2 years ago. So you never know how long the editing process will take, how long it'll take to get the artwork going, the marketing. It's not as if that was like consciously chosen as like, now let's drop it. Now they didn't sit on it and then just wait till the perfect moment to do that. Also, In the defense of the film, the story is about the broadcasters and the morality of how do they broadcast something so terrible. So the comments kind of comparing like, oh, this timing is a little interesting. It's not, I mean, did they watch it? Because it's not really, it's about the first time that people are broadcasting a terror attack and how do they like manage those very complicated questions. How are they supposed to digest and maneuver through completely fresh, never before treaded ground in media world, you know? And they were using satellites to do live broadcasting. They were the first ones to use, like, you know, news icon watermarks. Like, it's super fascinating. It shows you how all these things were made. Like, getting text on the screen took like someone like physically with their hands putting letters on a black screen and photographing it and then like superimposing it onto the footage. It's really more about like the broadcasters working through something that's never been worked through before. So I think that's important to keep in mind. But yes, this was, I didn't expect you to spend basically the whole time on Letterboxd, but you know, I just get fired up. From Letterboxd, it seems I should be spending more time on this. Just quickly, I was convinced once again, like my friend Todd, if he listens to this, I know you have Letterboxd. Just come and add me. I'll add you back because I don't know what your username is. Unless it's the same as your Instagram. But I have one other friend who finally pushed me over the edge to get it because I showed him my phone list of all the movies that I'd seen and movies I want to see. And he's like, dude, just go, just put it on Letterboxd. And I was like, okay. And I finally got on it because of him. And what I mean to say is now I'm on his page. I wanted to see if he'd done any written reviews. He's only done one written review, old Bob here. There's a lot of rated reviews. Like he gave Emilia Perez 3.5, The Departed 4, Nosferatu 3. I forgot what I gave Nosferatu like 3.5. And who am I following here? Oh, he's following. Okay, let me see what he said about El Camino. El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie. He says, I was somewhat disappointed. I mean, I'll give credit to the acting performances and the cinematography. They both picked up where the series left us. But other than that, the movie lacks a solid dramatic story arc and feels like a long episode rather than an independent movie. No one really needed this. Except hardcore Breaking Bad fans, maybe, but come on, move on. It was absolutely groundbreaking back then, but it surely feels outdated today. The movie didn't add anything new or unexpected to the Breaking Bad universe. The series finale was emotionally strong. The ending of this film was weak, which, by the way, was the only possible and therefore predictable ending. I mean, who seriously would have wanted to see Jesse suffer anymore and not get his long strive for freedom? Totally agree. I don't know if you guys ever saw that El Camino Breaking Bad movie. But kind of a waste of money. Didn't really need it. Didn't need any of the weird flashbacks with Bryan Cranston wearing a bald cap. Didn't need to see Jesse Plemons like 60 pounds, 70 pounds heavier than the last time we saw him, but he's playing like the same day. You know, it's weird. It was very unnecessary. Of course I watched it, but it was ridiculously unnecessary. Okay, final things here. Yes, one more time. In July, I am doing Lollapalooza. That's a big shift. Manuscript for the book should be done in April. I'm terrified. I am really pushing the boundaries of what I'm capable of doing here, but it should be okay. I got an official invite to the 75th Berlinale, but I can't go. For those who don't know, oh man, the Berlinale is like, man, it's probably the coolest, if not the, definitely in the top three coolest major film festivals in Europe. Okay, maybe. No, because, you know, you have festivals, you have like Sundance and Cannes. Well, Sundance isn't in Europe, but like Cannes is, you know, that's, you know. Okay, Cannes is like number one. I guess I shouldn't say Europe. It's definitely one of the top two or whatever in Germany, from what I understand. Because, I mean, this year, oops, sorry, I bumped the mic. Let me see who's going to be there this year. Because they have big celebs. Let me see here. Which celebrities will be at this year's Berlinale? Oh, damn. Oh, that was 2023. Oh, yeah. Well, in 2023, they had Kristen Stewart, Anne Hathaway, Peter Dinklage, Willem Dafoe, Matt Damon, Steven Spielberg, Helen Mirren. 2025. Oh, yeah. This year, they're going to have Timothy Chalamet. This year, they've got, oh, they got some sick celebs this year, my boy. They've got Timothy Chalamet, Robert Pattinson, Jessica Chastain, Jacob Elordi, Benedict Cumberbatch, and Edvard Berger. Of course, he's going to be there. He's got his movie Conclave. But my goodness, what a list. And I got invited to the opening ceremony, which is that big old juicy, like, fat, you know, cocktail dress press station area. I mean, it's bananas. Like, you can just look at, like, it's basically the word Berlin with an A-L-E, like Berlin Ale, you know, Berlinale. And it's, you know, it takes place at the Berlinale Palast. It's this big, beautiful theater. In Berlin, it's just gorgeous. And it's a humongous event. I mean, you just heard the celebrities that go there. So it is a big effing deal. So I can tell you a little bit what this invite says. So it says, Dear Jordan Prince, welcome to the opening party of the 75th Berlin International Film Festival in the Club Theater of the Berlinale Palast. The party is supported by Cupra, the new main partner of the Berlinale, is presenting a special DJ lineup, blah, blah, blah. There's my ticket. It's a QR code. Opening party, Thursday, February 13th. So by the time you hear this, this invitation will have already come and gone. Thursday, February 13th, starting at 10 p.m. Don't they know I'm in my 30s? Don't they know that I'm an old man now? Sweetheart, by 10 p.m., the PJs are on, the reruns of Friends are midstream, and the ice cream is well long since digested. Okay. My sweet dear friend, by 10 p.m., the eyelids are growing heavy with weight. The ears are buzzing into that fuzzy pre-dream goo. I am freshly showered and snuggled up on top of my electric heated blanket. Okay. What do you mean from 10 p.m.? By 10 p.m., I'm calling it, okay? Thursday, February 15th, Club Theater Berlin. Dress code, cocktail, oopsie. Even if I could go, I don't have a tuxedo. And I'm too fat. My God, I should really start planning for these events. And just, I got to lose some weight before I get invited to these kinds of things. Maybe if I can get invited next year. Man, it sucks to get invited and then you can't go. That's such ass. Because, I mean, that's crazy, right? I mean, you just heard me rant about these films. You know how much of an absolute geek I am about movies. And then I get invited to, like, one of the most major film festivals in Germany, and I can't go. Personal reasons, it's not nothing crazy, but it's just scheduling. I just can't go. I just can't. And that really sucks. And but you know, we'll see. Actually, we won't see because I just can't go. But my God, how cool would that have been? I really hope I can go next year. Maybe if I contact them a lot earlier next year, I can plan it. Because that would be so much fun to go. I mean, oh my God. Anyway, yeah, Lollapalooza is happening. Tour announcements are gonna come soon. We have to announce Lollapalooza, I guess. Next week, and I'll put the link in the show notes when that's out, so it's not going to be on this episode, it'll be the next one. I'll put that out, and then the tour artwork is being designed now. We've gone through a couple of different drafts, but we're getting there. Gonna find something that everyone's happy with. The tour is going to be announced after Lollapalooza, so probably like March, something like that. And then, oh, and last thing I wanted to say was shout out to Sehr Gut Clothing. Let me make sure that I'm getting that right here. I typed that in really wrong. Munich. It's hard to exactly know. Where's the website for this? I feel this is bad that I don't know the website. Sehr gut, Munich Kleidung. Oh, I don't know. Let me do it like this. You can't see what I'm doing, but I'm going to Instagram now, and I'm typing in the profile of these guys who sent me some very cool clothes. And what I'm trying to do is to figure out what their website is so that I can tell you where to go. Oh, it's like that. You goofs. You goofs. Okay, so the company is called Sehr Gut, which in English means very good. Sehr, S-E-H-R, and then Gut, G-U-T. And the website is Sehr Gute, like Gut, but with the E-R at the end, .shop. Sehr Gute, Guter, Sehr Guter Shop. And it is a very cool new modern clothing store that these buddies from mine in Munich have recently set up. They have a lot of great stuff. They have cool. Oh, that's nice. I didn't see the hat, so maybe I should have gotten some hats. Do they have hats? Anyway, I wanted to give a shout out to them just here on the podcast. If you guys, you know, if you live in Germany, listening to this, and you want some cool, fresh threads, Sehr gut. They just sent me some shirts and some hoodies and some sweaters. I'm going to be posting about them probably later today on Instagram and stuff. Well, maybe you see it by the time this comes out. And it's very good material. I have to say, like, if I don't, I get sent stuff a lot now. And if I don't like it, I usually just don't respond. Like, I've had people send me like colognes, and it's just not for me. It's not my thing. It doesn't click for me. And I just don't post about them because there's no obligation, you know? But, in my stand-up special, I wore a shirt that says the word any, A-N-Y on the front. That's my, like another friend who started making some cool clothing, and he sent me some stuff, and there's one thing that didn't quite fit. I don't wear it as much, but there's this shirt any, and it just fits very well. It's extremely comfortable. The material is very good. So I wear it a lot, and I have to say it's pretty similar with this, with the Very Good Shop. They have very cool, very minimal designs. I had some dust. I thought I had a stain, but it was just some dust. It's like beige and black, thin line designs, like, you know, little words, little hand-drawn things. And it just looks cool. It just looks cool. And I have to, shout out to Sehr gut. If you're in Germany, order from them. Good material. Very, 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 very good material. Organic cotton, unisex. You can feel the hand-stitched property of these designs. Very cool. Okay, I will stop bothering you guys with that stuff now. But thanks for letting me rant and rave. Shout out to Maggie. I hope you just have the most wonderful day, sweetheart. Sweetheart sounds sexist. I don't mean it like that. I just hope that you, I hope you have just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. Thanks for your funny comment. You're ridiculous, but I love it. I follow you now, so I'll be seeing what you watch. I'll be watching you, Maggie. If you want to follow me on Letterboxd, it's Prince of Germany. And like I said at the beginning of the show, hey, if you want to support the show, if you had fun, you enjoyed this, buy my hot sauce. It helps me. It helps me, like, pay my bills, and, like, hopefully I can get more merch involved, and we can, you know, eventually make a bigger show and have more, like, video podcasts, whatever you guys want. If you enjoy it just like this, we'll keep it just like this, but still, it helps me put some food on my plate, okay? Buy my hot sauce, or, like I said, support the show by giving a review, a rating. It's free to do. There's no better time to do it than right now. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love you. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.